We're going to look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, and it'll be up here. You can read in your Bible if you want to look at your version. It says basically the same thing. But Galatians 4 and 4 says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children." Isn't that awesome? "So that he could adopt us as his very own children." Verse 6, "And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.'" That's a very intimate term, that he is truly a father to us. And verse 7, "Now you are no longer a slave." You were a slave to sin, or if you're not saved, you still are. "But you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." Isn't that an awesome statement as we read about that? An heir to what God has for God. The God in heaven, the creator of the universe, we're his child. And what a great statement. We really do have an intimate father, a real father. The benevolent, kind, and generous father is our father. The father that protects, the father that loves. Amen. Great is our God. We're going to talk about him just for a little while this morning. I'm going to do more teaching than I am preaching, but we're going to do a little bit of both. Let's go to prayer right now. We got some serious prayer matters we want to pray with you about. Sister Parker, Betty Parker, is in the hospital, and they're just really trying to figure out what's going on with her. I want you to intercede for her, and also Judy Gifford's in the hospital. They're still having renal failure and other issues going on in her body. She needs a touch. Also, Betty Hodgkins's brother, we buried him yesterday. Some of you are already aware of that. Let's keep praying for that family, that just encouraged them and helped them in a dark time. It's tough to lose a favorite uncle, favorite brother. Let's just pray for that family. Also, our dear Luther, pray for that poor fella. He's out on the Gulf of Mexico fishing right now. But it's work. It's work. It's for work. I mean, it's part of his job. And so pray for the poor. I know. Actually, if you know, I'm not saying this as just if someone's on the Gulf of Mexico and I'm with them, they are forcing me to get on the Gulf. So you better pray for me. But anyway, let's pray for these together. And we all have needs. I want you to grab somebody's hand beside you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for today's message. Judy, Deborah. Keith Baum, yeah, her tumor is growing. She has a fungal meningitis, spinal meningitis. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We, God, intercede for these special people. God, for Sister Parker, for Keith's mom, for even for Luther, even though he's relaxing, God, we want him safe on land. Bless him. God, bless the Hodgkins family. God, we pray one for another in this house today as we cling to each other, hand joined to hand. Father, this is your church. We're praying for each other's needs. God, meet my friend's needs that I cling to on my left, my right. Bless them. Encourage them. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help me in the next few minutes to preach what you've spoken into my heart. God, I pray that you'll bless us now. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. 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 Repeat this with me. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three in one.
Our God is three in one.
There's people in this town that tell us that we worship three gods. Let me tell you, we worship one God. It's hard to get your mind around it. It's hard to understand, and I can't explain to you the Trinity, but I can tell you we've got titles for it. But for us to understand that one person, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is one person, and for us to say that it's three persons, it's hard to explain. But I'm going to tell you, my God's so great and so grand that human words cannot describe him. My human mind, which is so finite and it cannot understand an infinite God. I like to look out into the telescopes and the pictures from the Hubble telescope into into outer space, and I look at it and I see it, but I don't understand it. Hello? And that's the way it is with God. God is so grand and so wonderful and so great. Now, we have Scripture, and today I want to talk to you about a little bit of the Godhead, God the Father, and we're just looking at this this portion of the Trinity today, and we got to understand this now. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. It's the same God. And don't let anybody confuse you on it or tell you different. We worship the same God that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob worship. We worship the same God that John the Baptist worshiped. We worship all of the same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. We just have greater revelation about Him. How many know that sometimes, you know, somebody tells a joke and a half hour later you get it? You know, hello? It comes to you. You know, sometimes my wife will say, "Did you hear what she said?" And I said, "She said hello, but did you know what she meant?" And I have to say, "No, I'm sorry, dear. You're going to have to help me." And then she expounds. And all of a sudden, I understand that she really did mean that. That my wife understood it. That she had the revelation. And my wife had to help me get the revelation. Hello? And that's what happens is sometimes God has to help us get a revelation of who He is. We can't comprehend the greatness of Him, but sometimes when we begin contemplating Him and looking at Scriptures, we will be astounded and we'll be encouraged and we will be blessed. Now today I hope that God gives you a revelation of Himself as we discuss God the Father. Now listen, friends, I am not a Hebrew scholar. I studied a little bit of Hebrew in my lifetime. But friends, I cannot pronounce English or Anglish, whatever you want to say. I cannot pronounce Anglish correctly. I sure can't pronounce Hebrew correctly. So don't get too critical of me, but I want to read some Scripture to you. And we're going to look at some of the original languages of Hebrew and Greek and look at some of the definitions of what the Godhead, the Father, is. Now, the first part is in the Old Testament, we see God revealing Himself to man, and He revealed Himself as El Shaddai. Now, El is, and that means God Almighty, and that's an easy, loose translation for that. Now, we got to get this because the word El is a very ancient term that means God, that Shaddai means Almighty, or it means even more than that. Abraham, when he was 99 years old, listen to this, Genesis chapter 17, let me read this. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live blameless, and I will make a covenant with you, which I guarantee to give you countless descendants." So God is speaking to Abraham, and He reveals Himself. Abraham gets a revelation that God is God Almighty. Now, Abraham lived amongst a bunch of pagan people, and they had a god of the sun and a god of the moon, and they had an idol that would bring them good harvest and an idol that would help them have a lot of children, a fertility god. They had all kinds of little gods over different areas of their life. But God Almighty showed up to Abraham and said, "Listen, I don't know what these things are, these idols, but I want to tell you who I am." He said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty." And what that means to us is that we can find rest in that. We can find a peace in that because El Shaddai is the one that nourishes us in that term, in that ancient Hebrew term. We got to get all of the meaning there. It's kind of like a mother that nourishes and refreshes a child in the feeding of that child and the giving of fluids to that child to help them be refreshed. He's our rest in the time of need. And God Almighty, because He gives us rest to satisfy our needs in our person, because He's Almighty. He can do that. He's everything. And I thank God that I serve not just a God of part of my life, but I serve a God of all of my life. I serve a God that's Almighty. I serve a God that has to serve and bow to no other gods. I serve a God that's unlimited. He answers to no one. He does what He wants to do. And He is the Almighty God. He's the one that set the foundations of the earth. He's the one that hung the stars in the sky and commands them to go into places where they want. He's the one that stops the water on the seashore and starts landing. See, this is God Almighty. And as we read through Job and he begins speaking about himself, you can see that El Shaddai is an awesome God that blesses his people and sustains his people. God is able to sustain us. You hear me? That's El Shaddai. Now, the rest of the titles that we have about God in the Old Testament, mostly we're looking at these Old Testament names for God the Father. They always attach it to the word we say in English. We've actually annihilated the original word, but we say Jehovah. Now, we've heard about the Jehovah Witnesses, but I want to talk to you about the word Jehovah, because the word Jehovah is, like I said, it's an English version of that name, but it actually means existing one. Or we can also remember when Moses was on the mountain and he became before the burning bush and he realized this was God Almighty talking to him. And he said, when I go back to Egypt and talk to the Israelites, who should I say that sent them? And he said, tell them that I am that I am. He is the I am God, the existing one. He is existing always. And so the I am is pronounced in the old ancient Hebrew as Jehovah. And I don't even say that right, but we've kind of changed that into Jehovah. And so that's good news to us, because this is the God that is. He searches our heart because He's in us. He is here around us. He exists everywhere, not just far away. He is there, but He's close to us. He's the I am. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Aren't you glad you serve Jehovah? One of the first titles we find about Jehovah is Jehovah Nissi. And we see this here, Jehovah Nissi. Now, in Exodus chapter 17, Moses was involved in a battle. Actually, he just finished a battle with the Amalekites, and the Israelites had conquered this old enemy, the Amalekites, and the Amalekites had been a mighty army, but Jehovah's people were able to rally together and stay together and fight effectively against this nation. I want you to get this, because in those days, and even into our current times, we had nations would have a certain kind of banner that they would fly. We have a banner in the United States called the American flag. That's our flag. That's our banner. And that identifies, when we see that and we're on the battlefield, we know, well, hey, the friendly troops over there by that flag. I'm amongst a bunch of heathen over here. I got to get over there to that. That's who we identify with. That's where my people are from. And God is speaking to us. He gave Moses a revelation. He said, for the God's people, Jehovah is their banner. When I was in the military, I had to wear a certain uniform that looked like everybody else's. If you go to McDonald's for lunch today, you're going to notice that everybody in there has a certain uniform, and you can identify them that they are McDonald's employees, and or whatever, wherever you go. You go to the hospital, you find people in uniforms, and it's sort of the same thing. It's their identity of who they are. And that's what we get from this word here, Jehovah Nissi. God is my rallying point. God is where I find my allegiance. God is my identity. Hello, He's my new identity. And let me tell you something, because I have a new identity, I can defeat them old gods. I mean, them old warriors, them old enemies. Hello, Amalekites were an old enemy, but because Jehovah was their banner, they were able to defeat them. And isn't that great? As we think about Jehovah is my banner, and we strive in that, we exist in that we have a great God, Jehovah, our our banner. Then there's another word that we find in the Old Testament. There's several names in the Old Testament that we give God, but here's another one, Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. What's the next part of that shepherd, that verse? We're talking about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? We all know it, don't we? Isn't that a great thing? I've got a shepherd that's going to lead me to greener pastures. He's going to lead me to still waters. I've got a shepherd that's concerned about my welfare. He's leading me. Hallelujah. He's guarding me. In that same psalm, we find that he's got a rod and a staff. As you study that, we all know the shepherd's got a staff with a hook on it. And, you know, guess what had become sometimes besides a hook to get me back in, drag me back in? It also becomes a club. Hello? His rod and a staff, they comfort me. Every now and then he has to hook me and get back over here with the rest of us. Hello? I know God doesn't treat you that way, but sometimes he gets me and he drags me back to where I ought to be. He gets a little rough with me sometimes because I'm so hard-headed, as my wife will tell you. And so, you know, this is the reality that God's rod and staff, because he's my shepherd. He's got a rod, because if he can't reach me, he's got a little short stick and it's heavy on one end, and those shepherds could throw that. And buddy, that was a guided missile. And it would hurt. If it couldn't reach you, he could stop you anyway. Or he could club the enemy from afar. So I got a shepherd that's watching out for me. He's a friend. He's a companion. He's with me not just in the high times, but he walks with me through the dark valleys, even the shadow of death. He's right there with me. Amen. I could make my bed in hell, and the Bible says he'd be there with me. Because he's my shepherd. He loves me. God the Father. God Jehovah Ra. This is a great friend that I have. This is a friend that sticks closer than a brother that Proverbs talks about. And I thank you, God, that I've got a God that is a Jehovah Ra, a shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. There's also another title for Jehovah. You know, I want you to get this because this is God speaking to us. Remember the word I am. Jehovah means I am. I am the shepherd. And here it is, Jehovah Rapha. I am the healer. God is the healer. He heals my diseases. He heals my injuries. When people have hurt me internally and have damaged my heart, God is the healer that comes and brings the balm of Gilead to me and brings something to me that will help me to feel, to be able to weather through. And he heals me. He's healing Lori Beth today as she grieves for her uncle. He's bringing healing to her. Hallelujah. Because he's Jehovah Rapha. Today he heals us. He's also, another scripture is Jehovah Shammah. He's saying, I am the God that is. I am the God that's there. In other words, he's not over yonder. Yes, he is, but here he is right there. Hallelujah. He's speaking to us in a great thing. Now, this particular title is found really only one time in the Old Testament. It's the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. And he's talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is about to be destroyed. How many tell you, there's sometimes in life we go through that we suffer some problems. Get this, friends. We live in a world that's under a curse. We brought this curse through sin. We live in a place where there's mean people out there. There are angry, hateful people full of malice. And sometimes these people hurt God's people. Sometimes these people cause things to bring hurt into our life. But we got a God that says, I'm there. Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem had got into a pattern of horrible rebellion. And they said, God, we don't need you. We're going to do our thing. And so God said, okay, Well, guess what happened? Destruction came. The enemies came from every direction, and they destroyed the city. They piled it up into one big garbage heap and set it on fire. It was a horrible thing. These people that loved Jerusalem, that loved the identity of their nation, was at the temple in Jerusalem. And God speaks to them in Ezekiel. He said, you know what? There's coming a time when we're going to hang a sign on this town that says, God is there. So what that's saying, that God wants you to know that he occupies, even though that city was in ruins, God occupies there. Hallelujah. He's not just occupying today, Dan, but he's occupying tomorrow. Get this, because God is not limited like we are. We live in the now. We have a past, and we're reaching towards a future, but we're living in the now. God lives in all of it all the time. That's hard for my little pea brain to get a hold of, that God is not limited by time. But I want you to understand this, because God is over there in your future. You're reaching out towards your future. You're going as fast as you can towards your future. And God is already in tomorrow. And he's beckoning to you to come to him in tomorrow. Now, friends, we got to be careful that we choose to go to him tomorrow and not our own agenda and not our own seeking after our own treasures, but seeking after God in tomorrow, because he's already there. Early on Sunday mornings, I come here very early, and I come in here to pray. And guess who's already here? He is here. He is waiting for you to get here. He's beckoning for you to come. Some didn't come. He beckoned them to come into his plan for them today. But they chose another plan. And so that's the reality, friends. This is who we got, a God that's there. He's not just in, he's still in yesterday, but he's in tomorrow. And here he is right there in today. Thank God we serve Jehovah Shammah. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is encouraging as you look at this. Your day might be a wreck today, but God's wanting you to know that he's here and he's planning a great tomorrow for you. This is what Jeremiah 29 says. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good and not disaster. I give to you a future and a hope." God's got a future for us. He's already there getting it ready for us. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, James, he was preparing. But I got news for you, friends. Long before that he said that, it was already been the works. God has been preparing this place for us for I don't know how long, but God is already there, and he's beckoning you and I. Come to the place that I've prepared for you. Don't go to the place that you think you want to go, but come to the place that I've prepared for you. Come to the future that I have for you. I don't know about you, but that's amen territory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then there's the one we've heard so many times, so many songs about, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. You remember, this was a revelation that Abraham had when God asked him to make a huge sacrifice. And all of a sudden, he looked up and his son said, where is the sacrifice coming from? And he said, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And friends, they looked up and they found a ram caught in the thicket. And they went and they had a sacrifice because God provided for them. And I want you to get this, because God is our provider. Hallelujah. It's not the company, Mike. It's God. God provides to us. It's not the government. Just ask the folks down in Baton Rouge and New Orleans who provides. It's not the government. It's God Almighty. Hallelujah. God is our provider. When everything's taken away, when all of our organizations are stripped away by disaster or war or famine, when these things fail, you ask old Jacob what happened back in Egypt when the famine was so great that it would have destroyed many nations around them. In spite of all their treasures, it was so huge and so long that these people were starving to death. But God had provided for Egypt, and through Egypt and through Jacob's actions, so many people were provided, other nations were provided for. God knows what tomorrow holds because he's already there. He's Jehovah Shammah. And so he knows what to get ready for you to get there. We have a God that does provide. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God, that you're Jehovah Jireh. Thank you, God, that you're my Father that knows what I need and knows what tomorrow. Then there's Jehovah Sabaoth is the next term. That's Jehovah Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts. Now, when we read the Lord of hosts, we don't understand that because that's an ancient English word, host. But we would say it that he's the Lord of the armies. And that's what he is. Hallelujah. I want you to get this because there's no army in the world that God has not got over, that he can't change the direction of them. Hello. I forgot one, didn't I? I have to go back and get Shalom for God that is a Lord of the armies, and he commands armies. When the old prophet was out in the wilderness, and here comes the enemy against him, his servant said, "Oh my, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And the prophet said, "God, open the eyes of my prophet, or my servant." And all of a sudden the servant could see, he could see the fiery chariots of the host of the Lord around the horizon. He saw him. He saw the angelic army. And he said, "Oh, ain't no problem here. Because there's more of us than there is of them." And so all of a sudden the odds have changed. And James, we got to get this in us, that the odds are for us. They're not against us. The odds are on our side. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by the onslaught of the enemy because it's so great. The enemy comes in, the Bible says, like a flood. When the flood comes, how do we stop the flood? It's overfilling the dams and the dikes and the barriers. Here comes the flood. The army's coming. God raises a standard. In other words, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of God's army, fights for us on our behalf. Thank you, God. I forgot about Jehovah Shalom. This is the Lord is peace. And we find in the Old Testament, God speaks to us about, and we hear a lot of Hebrew people say Shalom. That's their greeting when they see you, and it's their greeting when they leave you. Peace, peace, peace be into this house. And God tells us to say that to when you enter into the house of a Christian, you said, "Peace be unto this house," is what we should say. Shalom. When we exit the house, we should say, "Peace be unto this house," because we have words of authority as God's people. Didn't that say we're God's people? Didn't we read that? We're God's people, God's children. We speak as the heirs of heaven. We say, "Peace be unto this house. Peace be unto this you, your life." And today, when we leave, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. I'm going to speak peace over you, because we have that authority as God's people, as his children. But this peace is not like, you know, not war. This is a wholesome thing that God speaks into us, that we have peace in our mind. We have a sound mind. We have peace in our body. We have a sound body, health and strength. We have peace in our finances, peace in our relationships. Yeah, we need that. Sometimes relationships, all kinds of everything but peace comes in. And we need God to begin intervening and speaking peace into our family, peace into our relationships, peace into our finances, peace into my home, peace into my life, peace onto my job. I need strength. I need health in these areas. Jehovah Shalom. Thank you, Jesus. There's probably about 100 other names of God that I could go through. Jehovah this and Jehovah that. As you read in the Old Testament, as people got these "I got it" moments, these revelations, like I got when my wife told me what she really said. You know, all of a sudden you get it. You understand it. That's what this is. Today God is explaining to us in Scripture. We'll find more titles for God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah El Shaddai. There's hundreds of others that we could say that God, and I don't even try to pronounce some of these Jehovah words because there's just too many consonants in a row. Thank you, God, that you're not a God that's so simple that one title can really explain you. Aren't you glad that your Father, that you cry out to intimately and say, Abba, Father? God tells us in Scripture, don't call another man father. We got a dad here. We call him father. But this is talking about in that worshipful way. We only have one Father in heaven. And Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. Abba God. Abba Father. Today God is giving us a revelation. And I want you to pray, God, help me to have that revelation even in a greater way. Perhaps you're here today and, boy, that PowerPoint didn't come out very well, did it? but, you know, God, give me a revelation of our Father. Help me to understand you even in a more intimate way that I can walk and understand how great of a Father you are to me, how much you will give me, how much I can walk in your blessing and how I can walk in your wholeness, Jehovah God. Abba, Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that you are realizing a God, as I am concluding now, I hope that you begin apprehending that God is so grand and so wonderful and so big and so awesome that he could handle our little petty issues of life. We got a daddy that's on our side. Amen. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Webster Community Church or any of our other ministries, you can find us online at www.agspringhill.com.